This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Hi, I'm Jim. Welcome to the Unbound Performance Podcast, where we explore the world of sports and performance mindset training.
And I'm Caroline. Each week, we talk about the strategies, habits, and mental framework that help us to excel. Let's get into today's episode.
Here's the deep, dark secret. None of us has it all figured out.
Right.
Like, we're all just in there. And if you're just in there swinging away, trying things, hack at it.
Yeah.
All right. And you get kind of better and better at it, but no one ever freaking arrives.
Speaking of arriving, Scotty. I didn't realize he was that young, honestly.
29.
Yeah. I think that everyone is my age. I feel like, especially pro athletes, although I should assume by now that I am considered old for professional athletes. Although golf is a little bit different, I think.
Yeah, although it's still by the time you get to your age.
Dunzo.
Well, Scottie Scheffler's interview prior to the Open Championship, which he actually just won this past weekend. I don't think he meant it to go like viral or whatever.
It sure did.
But man, so I mean, The Athletic has had probably several articles on it, but that everybody like was talking about his interview, where he described how winning these golf tournaments wasn't fulfilling ultimately,
right.
You know, and everybody's like
dropping this
pens were moving, you know, like that's, and on the one hand, I want to say like every sports writer in there would have, you would think that was a healthy, good, you know, but they were all like, what do you mean? What do you mean? What, you know,
golf isn't life. Yeah.
And we talk about these kinds of things pretty regularly. And you know, we both done things that you think would leave you
fulfilled,
feeling
happy, satisfied.
But it's, you know, when I read that article, I went back to Brett Ledbetter's book, What Drives Winning, where he's talking to a young woman soccer player and who's very accomplished but not satisfied, fulfilled, content, happy.
Yeah.
And he asks her, like, would 12-year-old you, if you listed all these things that you wanted to do,
would she have been happy and satisfied?
Would 12-year-old you have thought you would be happy?
Yeah.
She said yes. But here you are, and you've achieved all of them. All-American, national team.
Doesn't feel like enough.
And you're not.
Yep.
What does that tell you? Like, and we are just more than that. And so there was some, he had some great quotes in that one article. That there was even some really good quotes by the writer. So that's, I think, I thought it was worth talking about.
Yeah, I well, we haven't gotten into any of the things that he said. However, I liked where the, I guess it was the author of this or the journalist, whoever, said it was almost as if he was figuring it out as he said it to the crowd.
Right.
Yeah. Like, it wasn't a planned speech. It wasn't something he probably went in there and said, I think I'm going to talk about this today. Someone asked him a question and he just sort of like brain dumped and gave this like profound, very unusual answer for a pro athlete, especially a young one.
Yep.
Who hasn't necessarily probably had that moment where he's like, okay, well, I got to do something different. Like, somehow he was able to kind of figure some of this stuff out probably earlier on in his game. Maybe that's why I thought he was older. I don't know.
He definitely sounded more seasoned than 29.
Yeah.
This is a guy who's been playing his whole life, like, trying to do this. Like, he started as a younger kid. Like, I read one article where his uncle, his dad's brother, saw him, like, he was like 3 or 4 with a plastic golf club. And he just like smokes this ball, and his uncle runs and gets his dad. Hey, you got to see this! And he was just crushing them.
Yeah.
And his dad's like, "Oh yeah, yeah, he crushes it all the time."
It's normal.
Like, and so one, he was born with some ability, which, you know, anybody who becomes like best in the world is. But then his parents sacrificed. He worked really hard and has worked really hard at all of this, you know, singular focus. Not, he was multiple sport athlete in high school, but golf was the thing. And so it would be easy to tie your whole identity, sense of worth to that. And that's, those are the,
like,
things
who
you've
been since day one kind of thing.
And that's what's paying your bills and providing for your family, and that's why anybody knows who you are. That's why we know who he is, because of golf. And then for him to come out and say, "Did you?"
I love what he said. He said, "Golf is one of the greatest joys of my life, but does it fill my deepest wants and desires of my heart? Absolutely not." And I think that the article said that he was looking around, but the faces looking back at him weren't quite believing what they were hearing. I think it's just that. They said his stream of consciousness was worth hearing because it was free of intention, which I thought was an interesting way to put that. It was like he was just kind of speaking from the heart, and it was something so unusual. So, like, you know, you and I have talked about this 100 times, so it's not that unusual to hope that someone would feel that way, but unusual to hear, especially like right before the Open. Like, he's still in that mindset of, like, they said he, what did they call him? Someone who all shucks his way to winning something.
Right.
Like, the guy who all shucks his way to win after win, the wholesome family man, the devout Christian, not exactly Nietzsche. I just thought that was, I think that in this article specifically, the back and forth between what he was saying and then this, what do we call it, a journalist writing this author, mm-hmm. whatever.
Yep.
Talking, the dynamic between what Scotty was saying and the response from all of the reporters in the room, I thought was an interesting back and forth of, like, it was just like him speaking these crazy, you know, unheard things, and then the wide-eyed reporters just like you said, pen scribbling.
Well, and I think some of it was jarring on the part of the reporters, because you don't hear athletes talk like that.
Nope.
Especially like on the eve of a major tournament or at that age. And it's, cause for a lot of thinking as a result. Yeah. And, you know, we, to be 29 and to already know that the thing that everyone knows him for
is not the thing.
Is not who he is. Yeah. Like, and it's not the most important thing in his life. That usually takes longer. Like, took me a lot longer.
Didn't realize that.
And I think what that means for kids playing or doing anything, whatever their performance happens to be, you know, if it's musical instruments or academics or athletics, and everyone around them, like, this is really important and you need to work really hard, results matter. But to keep it in perspective, that but what's most important is, you know, we quote the Jim Lehrer stuff all the time about what are you chasing, why are you chasing it, and who are you becoming during the chase. And that, you know, if we're becoming better people, that's the foundation, the most important thing. And
that shouldn't have an end. So keep on getting, becoming a better person. Should not have some end. I've reached it. Now I can stop.
Right. And that's where, in his, in any, like, you know, professional athletes, it's easy because the thing that defines them for all of their life until they get to be like your age where they have to retire.
Appreciate you.
No, like, even someone like Tom Brady, who milked it, like, into his 40s, and Aaron Rodgers right now, he's still, he's in his early 40s, still playing. Okay, but they're going to, Tom Brady's done. He's in his 40s. Now what?
Now what?
And that's why this doesn't, winning championships, it doesn't bring ultimate fulfillment.
Right.
It can't.
It can't.
And
because you can't win championships till the day you die.
No. And that's, you know, Scheffler talked about, like, okay, you win one and then it's, you get a couple minutes to be really happy.
Yeah. I loved how he said, we work so hard for such little moments. I'm kind of a sicko. I love putting in the work. I love getting to practice. I love getting to live out my dreams. But at the end of the day, sometimes I just don't understand the point. And I thought that was like,
that's pretty heavy.
That's pretty heavy to like the polarizing first and second half of that quote of, like, I love doing the hard stuff, but what's the point? Yet he's still able to go in and do the hard stuff every single day. Is, I think, I mean, I think you and I know that understanding the point was sort of, what's the point in life in the bigger picture? What's the point? But to be able to say you're not really sure what the point is and still go after it as hard and as dedicated and as successful as he does is a feat.
Yeah, and he talked about he doesn't want to be a role model for the golfers to, like, in terms of achievement. But that's because he knows that, okay, say I win, whatever, 15 majors. And that's not going to bring me to a state of nirvana.
Right.
You know, it's not like, and he doesn't want to send that message to anyone watching. And on the one hand, he's in love with the process, obviously, and the pursuit of excellence, and those, that's something to be a role model about.
Right.
But I also think it's, you know, something to model in that the perspective and the worth of all of this. And, you know, he talked about how if it ever started affecting his family negatively, like, that would be it. And that doesn't mean he doesn't care about golf. He doesn't care about excellence and being able to max out his potential or whatever. But it also isn't the thing. And, you know, Jonah Oliver, I heard him in a podcast one time, and he talked about, like, what we're doing, whatever it is, it's a vehicle for us to live out our values and purpose. And that's what golf is for him.
Yep.
But it's not, there's no way you could win enough tournaments to leave you just feeling thoroughly satisfied.
Well, and they They summed up how much money he's won, winning more than $130 million on the golf course. He could hang it up.
I think so.
You know, like, yeah. But, I think so. But just further proof that, like, you love the game, you love the chase, you love that pursuit, and I don't think anyone can argue, especially after hearing that interview in the press conference, that he's just sticking around to make more money.
No, and that's, I mean, he's on a fairly historic run here. Winning this last week, that's his fourth major. He's 29. And that included, you know, he had a
not
hand
a bad
injury.
Trophy case.
Not bad. He had a hand injury beginning of the year that kind of affected his play up until, obviously now he's fully recovered. But
then he had that very public police arrest or whatever the situation was. Remember that? Like,
that was at the U.S. Open or whatever, three years.
Which is
ago.
another thing, like a very public, like make people maybe question who you are, and he just powered through. Like,
yep, yeah.
This is just an
that
incident.
Was a mess.
And that was crazy.
And he was. I mean, he was not. I didn't think he was at fault.
I didn't think
in
he was
way.
At fault. Yeah, not but, a bit. But just another thing that sort of could have potentially derailed if he didn't keep his head on straight for that one.
But there was a great quote by the author of this. He said, but Scheffler's ability to avoid tying his identity to being the world's best golfer is actually a hell of an explanation for why he's the world's best golfer. And that's, he quotes Raymond Pryor, who's a performance psychologist. Says what the research tells us is the more you're trying to smother your inner experience, the more effed you are. Pardon my language. I can have whatever thoughts and feelings without necessarily needing to do anything with them. I can shift my focus to what if I just did the thing in front of me, which is technically the only thing that I actually have to do. And it's impossible to do that if you're thinking about the effect of your shot. Like, what will this mean? How will this affect my career? You know, if I don't win this, you know, instead of just, I'm just going to be right here and play golf.
Well, it's so easy. We live in such a world of like, what's next and what else can I do and how productive can I be and how can I do 10 things at once? So it's very, I mean, it's challenging in itself. Even if you're good at it, it's hard to focus on the one thing you have to do right now.
Oh yeah.
But we also live in this world of like, how many things can I do and how can I get 10 things done at one time, when the reality is if you want to do good, if you want to do good things, like you can only do one at a time, period.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. That, well,
I'm the queen of not living that way, by the way, but
I'm aware.
Trying.
But take some time, okay? That's all you can do is get in there and swing away. But the fact that he doesn't tie his identity to being the world's best golfer is great reason why you could say he is. Yeah. That's then the putt on the 18th when it's tied on the last day, it doesn't have quite the same level of added pressure. You know, there's always going
to
be pressure, but I'm just playing golf.
Right.
And rather than the result of this putt defines who I am as a human being and defines my worth. And that's where, like, for kids, we get caught up in this whole, well, I have to make this team. If I make a 2-team or a 3-team,
it's not enough.
Then I'm not who am I?
Yeah.
And you have other people labeling you as not good enough. You're instantly going to believe that as a young person. So we're letting all these other people define who we are, what we're worth, how much we matter. And that is a massive problem with all of this stuff. Whether, and I don't care whether you're a concert pianist,
right,
a public speaker, or a basketball player.
Yep.
And I'm always talking about like, no, you get to decide and no one else gets to decide.
Yeah.
But having a clear sense of what matters much more than which team you make, or what your batting average is or free throw percentage is. You have to know you bring much more to that as a person. And those are the things that matter. Those are the things that will matter far more.
And the things people will remember.
Yes. Like nobody, if all you're remembered for is, you know, like I'll use Ted Williams as an example. He's the last Major League Baseball player to hit 400. Did it in 1941.
Jeez.
And
a different game back then too, huh?
Yes. But he also is one of the greatest fighter pilots who ever lived. And so, yeah, he said, like, when I walk down the street, I want people to say, like, there goes the best hitter who ever lived. And he's right there. But he also, like, he was John Glenn's wingman during World War II. And John Glenn himself will say he's one of the best fighter pilots I've ever seen. And he lost about 5 years to World War II and the Korean War. And after he retired, he started this Jimmy Fund up in Boston. It's a charitable organization that had huge impact up there. And he's extremely driven.
Yeah.
Worked like a dog to be great at whatever he was. Also, like, I read somewhere where he could be considered like the greatest who ever lived at three different things: when he was hitting a baseball,
a fighter pilot,
and a fly fisherman who's also like super great. So he was able to keep finding things that he could doggedly pursue. Now, I think some of his personal relationships suffered as a result of that. And that's ultimately, I think, where he found the most meaning and value was that charity, where he could
have some really like be
touch
good and
people's lives. And so then the other things were just kind of ways to allow him to do that. But I think the sooner we're able to realize that whatever it is we're doing that we think really matters more than anything doesn't. And
yeah, something it's, bigger.
Well, you know, we talked at the beginning of this about the whole thing for our purposes in life that always revolves around other people, our relationships with other people. And then we use whatever we're doing to positively impact and build those. Then I think, like, and that's, I think that's what Scotty Scheffler's talking about when it comes to ultimate fulfillment. And if you have a full trophy case or a, you know, whole room filled with trophies, but that's it.
Yeah.
There's no way that can bring real peace of mind and satisfaction and contentment. It's just not possible.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Unbound Performance Podcast.
Your support helps us continue to build our community. If you're enjoying this content, please like, subscribe, and share.